Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And good afternoon, Thursday edition of the Steve Jones Show, Thursday, May 9th, 2019, News Radio 1070, WKOK, and Sean Carey. In just a moment, we'll hear from Steve in the Sunbury Motors Studios, Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai, North 4th Street Auto Plaza Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Lots of ways to get in contact with us. Our email is stevejones@wkok.com. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, Twitter handle at SteveJonesPSU, and we invite you to subscribe to our podcast, especially if you didn't get a chance to hear our special broadcast on Tuesday from Penn's Tavern, Route 147 south of Sunbury, featuring Keith Conlon and Trey Bauer. So hit subscribe when you go on iTunes, Apple Podcast app, and Google Play, search Steve Jones Show. And then you hit subscribe. And then that way, once our shows are finished live on WKOK, we drop each hour's edition of the shows into your smartphone and tablets. You can listen to them anytime, anywhere. And you can also go back and replay 3 months of shows anytime. We've got them on the podcast archive page at stevejonesshow.com. So a big thanks to everybody who joined us on Tuesday at Penn's Tavern. Terrific time. And also, what an absolute blast yesterday at the Sunbury, at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club, with the 28th annual Truman H. Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament to benefit the Sunbury and Milton YMCAs. Record attendance, and for sure, I'll be bringing in between $25,000 to $30,000 for the Y, which will go toward summer programs and other great avenues and projects for those that don't have the ability to pay, which is great. So the kids can enjoy their summers and also take advantage of all the great programs and opportunities that the Sunbury and Milton Y has to offer, not just during the summer, but all year long. So our Sunbury broadcasting team, Kevin Herr, a.k.a. The Suit, as well as the Chief Dave Ritchie, Craig Fogle joined us again this year. And also Greg Wetzel, the voice of Lewisburg Green Dragons football on 100.9 The Valley. Our foursome was out on the course bright and early yesterday morning and shot a 70, even par. So way to go to our Sunbury broadcasting guys. And we will get specs on how Steve did on the Purdy team with Adam Purdy, Steve Engel, and Craig Purdy. Had a chance to follow them around for about seven or so holes yesterday, and they were at one over par after six. So we'll get the update from Steve when he checks in just a few from the Sunbury Motors studio. So we'll be live until five, and then we'll have the late day news roundup. Taylor Schultz at the anchor desk this afternoon. Phillies have tonight off. They'll be in Kansas City to take on the Royals in interleague play for the weekend. Phillies taking 2 out of 3. Great wins earlier this week, including the 5-0 shutout yesterday against the St. Louis Cardinals. Jared Eichhoff with 8 brilliant shutout innings, and Sir Anthony Dominguez shutting the door on what was a very somber day yesterday for Phillies Nation with the passing of David Montgomery, a former chairman of the squad, passing away after a very courageous 5-year battle with cancer at the age of 72. And we will get thoughts from Phillies ambassador and a great friend of the show, Chris Wheeler. Wheels will be joining us tomorrow afternoon at 3:35. We look forward to that very much. Also looking ahead here in the not-too-distant future, we'll go to the Bay Area. Also, journalist and columnist who has made quite a few appearances here on the show over the years and during his time at Fox Sports, Dieter Kurtenbach, also scheduled to join us before the weekend kicks in. We'll get his perspective on the NBA playoffs and specifically Golden State versus Houston as Golden State gets the victory last night over the Rockets and take a 3-2 series lead. Speaking of 3-2 series lead, Toronto, they have that edge currently over the Philadelphia 76ers. So the Raptors and Kawhi Leonard looking to close out that series tonight. Milwaukee with an impressive performance, the better team won for sure in that series as they eliminated Boston last night. Will that be the last game in a Celtics uniform for... well, we'll have to wait and see. Only a matter of time. We find out that'll happen.
Gone.
Hey there.
Kyrie Irving, gone.
I thought that
gone.
Too. To New York, maybe.
Kyrie Irving? Wherever. He can go wherever he wants.
Well, sure.
What a great 48 hours.
That was fun. Can we do that again? What a blast.
So I'm with Adam Purdy. I'm with Adam Purdy, Craig Purdy, Steve Engel. Yesterday, we had an absolute blast. Now, did we play as well as we wanted? No. I'm not going to use the quote that Craig Purdy used, but I thought it was accurate.
I did. Overheard right. A quotable by that one Adam Purdy climbing up the hill to hole 7. We're better than this. I did hear that.
Well, it's interesting is that all four of us can play. Craig's a good player.
He is.
Adam's a really good player. Steve Engel's a good player. And
Engel made some sneaky good shots, and Adam said, hey, watch Alan. When we talked to him at Penn's Tavern there on Tuesday, he said that, hey.
No,
especially there in the bridge hole at 5. Engel had a great shot.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he had a great. In fact, that was the one. We didn't get a birdie on that hole. That was one where Adam hit it, I want to say, 15 feet past. Steve was on the green to the left, and I was on the fringe hole high to the right. And it turned out it was when Craig missed it. And we still ended up with a par. I mean, we bogeyed 2. And what the frustrating part about bogeying 2 was that we had a 4-foot putt for par. And now we made up for it later because on number 9, I sunk a 20-foot putt for par. Okay, so we made up for it there. But, yeah, we ended up at 2-under. I know that people are, oh, how did the Suits team do? The Suits team had 3 bogeys and 3 birdies, right? I think that's right. They ended up even par.
They did, even par 70. They found the short game late, which was good, so.
We shot 68. And the interesting part is that we're better than that. But you know what? We all had a great time. I mean, we laughed. And I also want to take a moment to thank Robert over at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club Pro Shop. He couldn't have been any nicer. I had to deal with him on a very minor thing. And he was awesome. Also, it was good to see Sue again. Sue works at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club. She always comes by every year to say hi. It was great to see her. And everybody that was there. It was great to see Christian Hackenberg yesterday. And Adam Brenneman. They both said that they were thrilled to be there for the afternoon round because... You know who played the morning round, and they just assumed he'd be gone by then.
Yep, all clear. We're good.
Yeah.
We'll tee off now.
Is he gone? Yes, he is.
Our old broadcast colleague, by the way, Drew Kelly here at Sunbury Broadcasting, he posted on Facebook last night, he said, do my eyes deceive me, or did I just see Christian Hackenberg driving on the strip on 11 and 15?
Yes, he did.
I texted him, it's like, yeah, he was at the tournaments.
He and Adam Brenneman both, it was great to see both of them, with Trey Bauer, with Keith Conlon, with Tim Sweeney, with Shane Conlon. That was quite a group out there. But we get to three. And three is, that is as difficult a hole as I've played in my life. The par three third. Because the creek, the tree. And so this is a hole where I step up. I hit a 7-iron. And what did I put it? 15 feet to the right of the hole? Okay. So we walk up. So now we're on the green. Now, this is early in the round. So Adam goes over to check. You know, maybe we ought to put down because, you know, on a hard hole like that, we're on the green. To see if maybe it qualifies to put your name down. Oh, no. Tom Mertz, on his first shot of the day. Okay, first shot of the day. No warm-up. 2 feet, 3 inches. You could forget about that. And that, by the way, did hold up. 2 feet, 3 inches. And boy, was it great to be at Penn's Tavern with them. Oh, my goodness. We couldn't have been treated any better. Liz and Tom were just the greatest hosts.
Aces. Yep.
Greatest hosts. Liz and Tom, greatest hosts going. The Purdy's, what a great family. And it was great to just spend just hours out there with Steve and with Craig and Adam Purdy. We just had a blast. I mean, just a blast. Now, was there frustrating about them that we could play better? Yeah. Now, did anybody have illegal clubs in the bag? Judder? No. Felt like you were playing a legitimate round of golf.
Yeah, I got there in time yesterday morning to catch the last 4 or 5 holes of our Sunbury Broadcasting foursome. Luckily, that club stayed in the bag.
Well, he texted me that it was Judder time.
Oh,
he had a picture. He sent me a picture.
What time was that? Must have been early.
I can't remember.
Must have been really
10,
early.
10:30 maybe?
Yeah, probably about halfway through the round at that point. Yeah.
Right. I texted him back. I said, the first sign that the team is struggling. But it was great to see Bonnie and everybody at the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. It is amazing. I was telling Tom, I mean, I think you know I get invited to a lot of different tournaments, and I only say yes to two of them, and the two I say yes to are Coaches versus Cancer. And Scott Walker was there yesterday. He brought Keith Ergo with him, the associate head basketball coach at Penn State. Yeah. And this tournament, the Prairie Memorial Tournament, they're the only two I say yes to, because A, they're run in such a first class manner that it is easy for you to say yes to, easy, because it's so well done. And at the same time, it has been a great personal connection for me with as many people as possible in the Valley. That means so much to me. And I tried to spend as much time with as many people as I could along the way. And it was a really great 2 days. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Okay. Now, I'm going to get to something that's fun, interesting, and again, amazing. There are going to be, down the road, 43 bowl games. You're wondering, who's watching this? We'll run it down for who's watching based on this past season in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by the great people at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC Way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC Way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC Way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC Way. The SMC Way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Well, it was great to see Matt Cotrillo, Kyle Alexander. It was great to see Mark Lawrence. Mark came down to Penn's Tavern on Tuesday night. Mark's just one of the great guys out there. It was great to see him. In fact, what I'd done was I knew I had to do a segment for SiriusXM at 5:30 on Tuesday night, so I left my phone and my keys out there. And, of course, you know, Mark's a good guy. He comes in and goes, hey, you left your phone and your keys out there. I was like, it's okay. You know, but he's just an awesome guy. It's great to see Mark out there as well. And then we gave the suit his just due. And I thought, to be honest with you, both the members of his fan club, I thought were pretty touched by that. Segment.
Yeah, yeah. Glad they were there to witness it.
Yeah.
Great moment for them.
Now, I think the other one was more, kind of felt like she was more in a hostage situation that, you know.
I'm here by default.
So she went along with you know, whatever. But, yeah.
So can you take me shopping after games. This? That's probably what she said.
Yeah. What do I get out of this?
Help me help you. Yes.
Yeah. Okay, this is for 2018, so this is the past bowl sequence, okay? There were 40 bowl games played in the last sequence. Only three of them had fewer than 1 million viewers. And two of them were on the same day. Okay? So here are the numbers. I'm not going to give you the rating. I'll just give you the number of viewers, okay? Clemson, Alabama, 25.3 million viewers. Alabama, Oklahoma, 19.06. Clemson, Notre Dame, 16.8 million viewers. Rose Bowl, Ohio State, Washington, 16.8 million viewers. Texas, Georgia, Sugar Bowl, 13.3 million viewers. LSU, UCF, Fiesta Bowl, 8.5 million viewers. Michigan, Florida, Peach Bowl, 8.4 million viewers. Penn State, Kentucky was the number 8 overall bowl, 7.7 million viewers. So they were the eighth most watched bowl game was the Citrus Bowl. Washington State, Iowa State, and the Alamo Bowl, 5.54 million viewers. Texas A&M, NC State, Gator Bowl, 5.2 million viewers. West Virginia, Syracuse in the Orlando Bowl. 4.8 million viewers. I think is it the Russell Athletic Bowl? Whatever, it doesn't matter. Oklahoma State, Missouri in the Liberty Bowl. 3.8 million viewers. Wisconsin, Miami in the Pinstripe Bowl. 3.8 million viewers. Oregon, Michigan State in the Foster Farms Bowl in Santa Clara. 3.8 million viewers. That was on Fox. Baylor, Vanderbilt, Texas Bowl. 3.3 million viewers. Fresno State, Arizona State in the Las Vegas Bowl, 3.3 million viewers. Iowa, Mississippi State in the Outback Bowl, 3.3 million viewers. TCU and Cal in the Cactus Bowl, and I was one of them, 2.7 million viewers for the Cactus Bowl. Okay? Minnesota, Georgia Tech in the Little Caesars Bowl in Detroit, 2.7 million viewers. Cincinnati, Virginia Tech Military Bowl, 2.7 million viewers. Stanford and Pitt in the Sun Bowl, 2.6 million viewers. Army Houston in the Armed Forces Bowl, 2.6 million viewers. Purdue Auburn Music City Bowl, 2.6 million viewers. South Carolina Virginia in the Belk Bowl, 2.6 million viewers. Wake Forest against Memphis in the Birmingham Bowl, 2.5 million viewers. NC State and Alcorn State in the Celebration Bowl, 2.3 million viewers. Duke Temple in the Independence Bowl, 1.8 million. Northwestern and Utah
in the Holiday Bowl, $1.8 million. Marshall and South Florida in the Gasparilla Bowl, 1.8 million viewers. Troy against Buffalo in the Mobile, Alabama GoDaddy Bowl, 1.7 million viewers. Ohio and San Diego State in the Frisco Bowl, 1.4 million viewers. Boston College and Boise State was on for the first quarter only, 1.4 million viewers. BYU and Western Michigan in the Idaho Potato Bowl, 1.4 million viewers. 1.4 million for Middle Tennessee and Appalachian State in the New Orleans Bowl. UAB and Northern Illinois, 1.3 million. Louisiana Tech and Hawaii in the Hawaii Bowl, 1.15 million. Okay, I'll give you the three that didn't make the cut after the break.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us today. Brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. All right, now the three bowls, by the way, that did not make the cut. In terms of cracking a million in viewers. All right, let's see. What was that thing? I've been working so hard here trying to update Team Partner. I guess I didn't look at it closely enough. Okay, here we go. Three that didn't make it were the New Mexico Bowl, which had 968,000 viewers between Utah State and North Texas. But that was the leadoff game at 2 o'clock on December 15th. Also, on December 15th, the Camellia Bowl at 5:30 had 986,000. So Georgia Southern, Eastern Michigan had 986,000 viewers on December 15th, the Camellia Bowl. Utah State, North Texas on the New Mexico had 968,000 viewers on that Saturday. And then the other one, which was dead last in viewership, was Florida International and Toledo in the Bahamas Bowl, which had 838,000 viewers. It should be pointed out that the FCS championship game between North Dakota State and Eastern Washington on January 5th had slightly more than 1 million viewers. So it beat out these three games. The two semifinals in FCS between South Dakota State and North Dakota State had 846,000 viewers, and Maine and Eastern Washington had 448,000 viewers. And then I want to just go back here for a moment, and under the category of due respect and a tribute to the suit, what does the suit make a big deal out of bowl-wise every single year? The Celebration Bowl, right? Celebration Bowl did very, very well. It had 2.345 million viewers at noon on December 15th for North Carolina A&T and Alcorn State. And it was rated ahead of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7... 8, 9, 10, 13 other bowl games. I mean, that's impressive. And on games played on December 15th, it was the number two rated bowl. Las Vegas Bowl and ABC had more viewers. That was it. But there were five games on December 15th. That was actually Celebration Bowl's number two. So if you're wondering why people gravitate or why there's so many bowl games, it's because you're watching. That's the reason. You're watching.
Simple as that. ESPN owns 13 of these bowl games. 13 of them. And they do it for programming. But that is what I think a lot of people don't realize, is that the viewership on these things is actually really good. Tomorrow, by the way, we're going to have Chris Wheeler on the show. We're going to talk about former Phillies chairman Dave Montgomery. Did you ever get a chance to meet Dave Montgomery?
Unfortunately, did not have the pleasure.
Oh, my goodness. What a great guy. Oh, my goodness.
It was just amazing hearing testimonials from many Phillies people that we've known that have been part of the organization for years, including who was also now a Phillies ambassador like Chris Wheeler, Mickey Morandini, who was in Williamsport about a year and a half ago. It was literally was, and he wasn't the only one yesterday, was brought to tears, where David would get to know everybody. It doesn't matter if you were in the boardroom with Mr. Montgomery or if you were a ticket taker or an usher.
Yeah.
He got to know you, he got to know your family, and you were treated as an equal. And
every time
it's just hard to be for the city of Philadelphia. It's hard for everybody to like one person in the city of Philadelphia, and David Montgomery just filled that category to a T. Try to find someone that hated that guy. Couldn't.
Every time I saw him, he could not have been any nicer. Told me he listened to games all the time, and like it's like, gee whiz. Really? He was just a genuinely nice guy. Last time I saw him, he was with former Governor Rendell. They were together at a Penn game. Dick and I went over to talk to him for a while. And Governor Rendell, I think there are very few people in politics that knows more about sports than Governor Rendell. Very few people in politics. There are a lot of people in politics that like to be around sports, but boy, his knowledge of it is really, really impressive. Really impressive. But yeah, Dave Montgomery, Chris and I, Wheels and I will talk about it tomorrow. That is going to be... interesting. It's probably going to be hard for him at times to talk about him. So,
well, he had so much to do with getting Citizens Bank Park built, and also played a huge role, huge role in Philadelphia, having another opportunity to host a Major League Baseball All-Star game. And it was just sad when that press conference was done not long ago at Independence Hall. Mr. Montgomery couldn't be there because of his health. He was struggling at that point.
Yeah. It's hard. But we'll talk to Wheels about that tomorrow. Also, we're going to have a writer from the Washington Post tomorrow. And that will be to talk about the trial that just ended, where Christian Dawkins and Merle Cobe were found guilty in the basketball trial. So we'll have him on tomorrow. And then today we have Mark Brennan will join us on the show today. And we'll get him in the Summary Motor Studio, talk some hoop. Plenty of hoop. We'll do that. And that's all coming up today. And Neil Coulong as well. It's always good to have Neil Coulong on the show. Big fan, by the way, of the Celebration Bowls, Neil Coulong.
Really?
No. But let's give credit where credit's due. Who is the major proponent on this show of the Celebration Bowl?
That'd be that one, Kevin Herr. I guess we're stuck picking that game now every year in the bowl selections. So,
but you know, you look at the ratings. It's probably ended up with 30th.
So December 15th.
I'm sorry. It ended up 27th among bowl games.
So that would have been the first or second game of the bowl season right out of the gate.
I want to say it was the first game. I thought that game was at noon.
I think you're right.
Yeah, it was at noon. It was the first game.
So it would have been the first one, yeah. Boom.
So what it did was is that it was the first one out of the gate, and the other two bowl games that aired at 2 o'clock, so opposite it, okay, the New Mexico Bowl, Celebration Bowl beat it out, probably knocked the rating down because they were opposite each other. See, that's the other part about this. Most of these games, for example, the way ESPN programs, now they don't have control over all of them. Fox has some now. But they do record them. They do put them as standalone spots. They don't compete with each other. So let's see. What did we watch? Clemson, Alabama? Yes, obviously. Alabama, Oklahoma? Yes. Clemson, Notre Dame. Yeah, I picked it up, I think, in the first quarter of that basketball game that afternoon. So, yes. Rose Bowl, no. I did not watch the Rose Bowl. Why? You're like, how could you not watch the Rose Bowl and not watch the Sugar Bowl? I didn't watch the Sugar Bowl either. Why? Simple. I was flying back after the Citrus Bowl, so I was in transit. Fiesta Bowl, did not watch it. The game was opposite the Citrus Bowl. So what I've watched now, what, 1, 2, 3 games, okay, so far. Michigan and Florida in the Peach Bowl, did not watch, but I listened to it. I had a game opposite it on the 29th, so I didn't see the game. So now I'm still at 3. Penn State, Kentucky, pretty sure I watched that one. So that's 4. Washington State, Iowa State, and the Alamo Bowl, I watched it. That's 5. Gator Bowl, did not. Number 6 for me was West Virginia, Syracuse. I would definitely watch that. Number 7, I did watch some of the Liberty Bowl between Oklahoma State and Missouri. 8, I did watch Wisconsin and Miami in the pinstripe. Michigan State, Oregon is 9. In the hotel in Orlando, I did watch that. Pretty good ending. So that's 9. Texas Bowl, Baylor, and Vanderbilt. I did watch some of that. It's 10. Fresno State, Arizona State in the Vegas Bowl. I did not. I was driving back from Atlantic City. I listened to it on the radio, but I didn't watch it. Outback Bowl, Iowa, Mississippi State. Did not. That was opposite the Citrus Bowl. Cactus Bowl, TCU and Cal. I did watch that. So that's 11. Minnesota, Georgia Tech and the Little Caesars Pizza Bowl. 12, I did watch some of that. Watched a chunk of it, in fact. Then for some odd reason, I ordered Papa John's. I mean, I don't know.
Pizza.
Military Bowl. Cincinnati, Virginia Tech. I did not watch that. And the reason I didn't watch it, I was at practice. Stanford Pitt Sun Bowl. Got back from practice. I actually watched some of that. So what does that put me up to? 13? Army Houston, 14. I watched some of that at the Armed Forces Bowl. Purdue Auburn, I watched some of that. That was a mistake. The music, that's 15. South Carolina, Virginia, the Belk Bowl, I did not. I was doing a basketball game opposite that game. Wake against Memphis. Did not watch that. I was coming back from Alabama. NC State, Alcorn State, did not watch because I was in Atlantic City doing the Penn State game with NC State. Independence Bowl, Temple and Duke. I watched some of that. So what does that bring me now to 15? Holiday Bowl. I did actually watch some of the Holiday Bowl. Some of it. We had a Learfield dinner that night, but I got back in time to watch, I think, like the fourth quarter. So that's 16. That counts. Marshall and USF in the Gasparilla Bowl. Didn't watch it. I was in Tuscaloosa, so I couldn't watch that. Troy and Buffalo in the GoDaddy Bowl. No, did not watch that. I think what the deal was on that, because I was back from Tuscaloosa at that point. Just didn't watch it. Ohio and San Diego State Frisco Bowl. Did not watch that. I was in Pittsburgh doing the Duquesne basketball game. Boise and BC. I did not watch it. It only lasted a quarter. I think I was listening to something on the radio, and they went to a lightning delay, and it never finished. So that doesn't count. BYU and Western Michigan in the Idaho Potato Bowl. I actually watched some of that, so that's 16, right? New Orleans Bowl, Middle Tennessee State, App State. I actually did watch some of that, so that's 17, because I got back from Atlantic City and watched some of it. Boca Raton Bowl on the 18th. No, I was in transit to Pittsburgh that night to do basketball. Louisiana Tech Hawaii in the Hawaii Bowl, 10:30 night. Yes, I did watch. I did watch a good chunk of that game. Georgia Southern Eastern Michigan Camellia Bowl. No, I was in Atlantic City. Utah State North Texas New Mexico. Same story. Atlantic City and the Bahamas Bowl, Florida International in Toledo. Did not watch. I was in Tuscaloosa. The 21st was a Friday, right? Yeah, I was in Tuscaloosa for Penn State basketball at Alabama. So what I ended up watching, 17 out of 40 in one form or another. But a lot of it has to do with my availability, too. There's a whole bunch. You notice there were a lot of at and on the roads there?
Oh, yeah, you take them out of the equation, you would have cleared 25 games with no problem.
Well, part of, yeah, I mean, obvious. But, you know, when you're traveling or you're doing everything, like, it's completely different when you're... I just sit down and people ask, like, how do I watch? Right? I just watch to enjoy it. Okay, I don't watch to think about anything else. Because when I'm doing games, hey, I'm enjoying myself, but, you know, you're invested in what's going on. It's nice to sit back and, you know, you don't have to be invested. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors. They were playing this at the 17th hole yesterday when the Suits team arrived there, and he just went crazy when this happened. And you wonder why there are more people in the afternoon flight than the morning. All right, so... I guess Greg Wetzel was just roasting him yesterday.
Oh, it was great. Great to see Greg out there yesterday, yeah.
It was great to see Greg out there, or the fact that Greg was roasting him?
Both.
Yeah.
Well, especially, you know, Greg had some health issues right around the holidays, and since
I know he did.
Yeah, got the ticker straightened out. He's dropped 25 pounds. Looking great. Awesome swing out on the course yesterday. So, yeah.
Well, he's a good player. Greg's a good player.
Yeah.
Greg's a good player. Like I said, I played with three really good players yesterday, and I feel like I can hold my own no matter what. And guess what? It's like we just could not get anything going. Like, geez. So... I mean, it wasn't like we ended up with a bad score. It was fine, but... yeah. Oh, well.
So I noticed on a lot of the putts you guys had yesterday, at least with the opening 6-7 holes, a lot of the putts were breaking and catching our guys the back end when they were out back behind the club, late morning, early afternoon. A lot of the putts they thought were going to break were going straight. So I don't know if when you guys were out on the back nine out back, if you experienced any putts that went straight and you thought they should have broke.
No, there was a putt on 16. And it was a double breaker, like subtle. It broke right, then at the end slid left. You're like, really? I think that one I hit the edge. I'm like, oh, you got to be kidding me, really? The Susquehanna Valley Country Club's a really terrific layout. And it has breaks on the green. You got to snug some shots in there to really give you yourself a chance to score. Like Mertz did at 2 feet, 3 inches.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.